welcome you to the podcast. And today I want to talk a little bit about where buyers have to be and what they need to do to succeed in the 2021-22 housing market. And I think it's interesting for a lot of people in today's market conditions with the world the way that it is, that they don't use a realtor. Now, again, being a realtor, it's really easy for me to say you should use one. But did you know that using a real estate agent or a licensed real estate salesperson is free of charge to the buyer unless it's a for sale by owner or if it's a commission cut brokerage? What do I mean by that? So a lot of people do for sale by owners because they don't want to pay a commission to the realtor. So obviously the buyer's agent needs to get paid. So if you're doing a for sale by owner, a lot of times the real estate agent or licensed real estate salesperson would turn around and ask the buyer if they will fit the 2-4% that is owed to them. In a commission cut brokerage, sometimes brokerages will do listings at 5% or less, and the difference has to be made up by the buyer because a licensed real estate agent should get 3%. So the cost does go back onto you. But for a listing that's held with a normal realtor, chances are that you're not going to pay anything, and it's built into the listing cost. So that's always good to know for a buyer. Why not get the representation? And even before you buy a house, the education that a good realtor, will give you is priceless. Again, knowing what a realtor knows, how to handle themselves in today's market. There's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of things that go right and wrong in a transaction. And a good realtor will keep you within the lines, will make sure that you're not making rash decisions. And again, not all realtors are created equal, and we know that. Unfortunately, you don't know that. So what I always say to clients is, when I sit down with them, hey, interview 2 or 3 more agents. I'm confident enough in my ability. I'm confident enough that the information that I share with a client is beneficial. And at the end of the day, they're going to understand the process and they're going to look back on this and say, hey, you were right. Now, it's not about being right or being wrong. It's about just making sure the consumer is set up for success. You hear a lot of realtors out there say, you know, I buy and sell real estate. Unless you're an investor, you really don't. You help people make informed decisions on buying and selling real estate. And that's really the question you have to ask yourself. Are you helping them, or are you acting on their behalf? Because again, it's not about us. It's not about our personality. It's not about our egos. It's not about our brokerage. It's about what kind of service we can provide to the client. What are their expectations? What are they looking for? Now, it doesn't always work out. There are some buyers out there, can't find a home. They're very frustrated. There are some that are really not motivated. There are some that are very motivated. There are some that jump at a house. Some of them are very, very diligent, and they really take their time to vet it out, almost to the point of losing out on the property. And that's just how it is. In real estate, we hear buyers are liars. And that's really untrue. It's not that buyers are liars. It's buyers don't know what they don't know. With that being said, it's our job to put them in the know. It's our job to make sure that they understand the process. When I sit down with clients and I ask them, you know, what are you looking for? A lot of times a client will tell me, well, you know, they'll tell me the square footage and how many bedrooms and bathrooms and where they're looking, but they won't tell me the style of home. And then, you know, you kind of have an idea based on what they're asking for of the style of home. But again, they may never have done the research on the kind of homes that they want. So again, they just don't know. So it's like a buyer may say, hey, listen, I want a cape and I don't want this and I don't want that. And all of a sudden you get an email or a call saying, hey, I want to look at this house. And it's contrarian to what they're saying. you're like, man, they lied to me. It's not that they lied. It's they didn't know what they didn't know. A very tall person, chances are a cape might not be good for them because of slanted ceilings in the upstairs floors. But they don't know that. So again, sometimes you have to take them to that property. Sometimes you have to show them that, you know, you're tall and you might skid your head off the ceiling and that could be a problem. So it's educating. Not all houses are for everyone. You know, different strokes for different folks. What's most important to you? Is it price? Is it condition? Is it area? Is it school? Is it off-street parking? Big backyard? Full basement? New roof? New mechanics? So many different variables. And that's really the hard thing. You have to uncover that. When you sit down with a client, I hope that you're asking those questions. I'm hoping that you're trying to get to the bottom of it. Because it's not a process of selection, it's a process of elimination. Any realtor or licensed real estate salesperson can send a potential buyer 60 to 80 homes, 50 to 60 homes, 10 to 20 homes. But not all homes are right for that consumer. So if someone gives you a very general search parameter and you send them all them, they're definitely not. The financing might be wrong, the location might be wrong, the school district might be wrong. So again, listening to your client is super important. And I think a lot of realtors don't. They assume, oh, I know what they want. Do you? Because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are making the decision. Those are the people that are making the financial commitment. You're not. As an agent for them, are you cashing the commission check before you've done the deal? Because there's a lot of realtors out there that they see the price of the home and they calculate the commission in their head and they sold it before they've even sold it. And that's a hard thing because the transactional versus relational agent is an interesting paradigm because again, the transactional agent is looking for the quick buck, the one and done, the Milli Vanilli, the vanilla ice, the one hit wonder. They get the client, they sell them the house, they never see them again. The relational agent wants to keep that client as this is my realtor. I got a guy, I got a girl. This is my person. You got to use my person. And I think that's a good thing. But again, it takes work. You got to stay in touch with your clients. You got to provide value to your clients. You got to gel with your clients. Sometimes you have to fill the needs of the client on things that they haven't even said to you. It's those nonverbal cues. It's going through homes and they're not liking the homes, even though they said these are the things that they wanted in the home. It's like, okay, I must not have heard you correctly. Let's revisit this. Let's go back at it. Let's talk about why. It takes a lot of work to sell a home. It takes a lot of work to buy a home. And that's okay. I mean, that's totally fine. But again, you got to ask those questions. You got to listen. You got to hear what they say and what they don't say. Because again, if you just assume, you're gonna have a problem. This market has a tough spot because it's a seller's market. So what does the seller's market mean? The seller market means there's less homes out there, inventory, and there are buyers. So there's many more buyers looking at the same home. So you have a lot of eyes looking at the same property, which is creating demand, which is driving up the price. So multiple offer situations are aplenty. And people lose on homes. I tell clients when I sit down with them, listen, during this process, you might write 3, 4, 10 contracts and you may lose on them. They kind of give me that look like, what do you mean? In the seller's market, you may not have the highest price. You might not have the best conditions. You might not have the best financing. So you might be in a situation where you're going to lose out. And I always say, listen, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. There's always the next house. This isn't a race, it's a marathon. We are going to get there eventually, but again, we have to be patient. Now, some people don't have time to be patient. There might be a relocation. They might need the money. So situationally, you have to figure out with your client what is most important to them. Say, for instance, they're selling a home and they have to buy a home. And they need to sell the proceeds from the sale of that home to buy that home. That's what they call contingent. So if you're contingent and you need to sell home A to buy home B, you have to price the home correctly. You have to put your best foot forward. And you have to be realistic of the market conditions in the area and not shoot for a pie in the sky number and be unrealistic. And there are some buyers out there that are like, I'm so emotionally attached to my home is worth this. And you're doing the comparables and the comps and you're like, I can't find these numbers. This number that they are trying to come up with, I can't find it. Being realistic. Because again, when you buy another home and you're contingent, you have to sell to the seller your marketing plan, your pricing strategy of the home that you are have on the market as well. Say, look, we're contingent. We need to sell this home in order to buy your home, but this is where we are. And that's okay. But you have to be realistic. You have to explain to the consumer that, you know what? If we put this price that is so unreachable and we wait out the market, we're going to lose out on the home that we're buying. You're like, well, I don't want to give the home away. You're not giving the home away. You're pricing it, what's most important to you. If you're just trying to move into another home, you're going to have some equity in the home. You have some time. You know, everything has a different situation. So you have to act accordingly. And I think that a lot of buyers and sellers don't understand that. It's not a one-all approach. Every client that I meet, it's a different strategy. A lot of the same components might be in the middle of it. A lot of the components might be similar. How they're applied and how they're said and how they're done are going to be different based on the consumer. Real estate agents and licensed real estate salespeople are often painted with the same brush. If you have a bad agent that's not doing a good job, all agents are bad. That's how we're painted. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And unfortunately, when we deal with other agents, we have to deal with what they are or what they do. Not all agents are created equal. And I'm not going to sit here and dump on other agents. Other agents who don't do good work in the industry, when their name is mentioned, there's this vacuous, oh, that agent. It's very easy in the real estate community for the personality or the business practices of said agent to be out there. I know for me, there's a high frustration level when I have to deal with those agents. And I'll often vent to other agents in my office and say, oh, I got to deal with this guy or this girl. You know, and the other agents would say, listen, you can't control that. All you can control is what you can, you know? And I have a fiduciary responsibility to my clients. And part of that fiduciary responsibility is reasonable care. So putting them in a situation that may be harmful or I know it's going to be a mess. If I'm looking at two similar homes and on those two similar homes, there's a phenomenal agent and there's a not so phenomenal agent. I'm going to present both and I'm going to say, you know, am I going to dump on the other agent? No, but I'm going to say, listen, I've dealt with this other agent before. We've had some struggles. We've had some opportunities. This deal, this house is just as nice as this house. We might want to go in this direction. I think this deal might be smoother. Now, that's not to say that the deal will be smooth, but reasonable care is not putting them in a situation that's going to be a mess. So for the realtors out there who kind of don't do the job the way it's intended to, or they're very ego-based, they're not good communicators, they don't get back to you, they kind of fudge the numbers, they're too aggressive in their price, or they misappropriate the listing. That's how you're going to deal with the entire transaction. That is like a first look in. And when I look at a multiple listing sheet, which shows the home, it's kind of like a P&L sheet. And I look at that sheet, and it tells a story. You know, I worked in retail for 20 years, and district managers and executive vice presidents would walk the store. And before they would walk the store, they would have a copy of the P&L. And they could tell if our back room had a lot of inventory, They could tell a lot of things from that P&L. Before they even stepped foot in the building, they had a preconceived notion of what the store's conditions was and what it would be. And they were, for the most part, pretty correct. An ML sheet is kind of like a P&L. It tells a story. Price, days on market, financing, private remarks, attachments, delayed showings, delayed negotiations. There's so many components in there. As a realtor, we look at them very quickly and we kind of like make snap decisions. If a house has a high days on market, a lot of times we say it's price or condition or a little bit of both. And for me, you know, you don't know what the other side has. You don't know if the sellers are being very unrealistic to offers that are coming in. They need to net a certain dollar amount, so they price the home that way, and the realtor doesn't have the coconuts to basically say, hey, you know, we are way above where we need to be. We're never going to sell this home. And the sellers are like, you know, it is what it is. So you just don't know. But you try to develop an idea of where this deal is, where it will be. And again, you look at something, you look at some of the pictures, and we see pictures, and I'm often, and I've been doing this for close to 10 years now, blown away by the lack of professionalism in the pictures. And I'm not saying you have to be a professional photographer to take pictures for a listing, but you have to at least have some semblance or idea of what you're doing. When I see a blurry picture, it tells me a story. And the way I look at it might be different than the way you look at it, but if I see a picture on a listing and it's a blurry picture, a couple things go through my head. One, they were in a hurry. Two, they had, you know, a bad camera. Three, they never reviewed their pictures. Four, they never showed their client the pictures. And five, they just don't care. So if a blurry picture would tell one story, it's like, well, this might be how the transaction is going to be. It's going to be a little blurry. Okay? Not going to have all the right tools for the job. They just don't care. One blurry picture can set a stage. Now, things happen. Maybe they can't get back into the house. Maybe, but again, for the overall thing, if you have a blurry picture, there's a bunch of times when you're going to go through the listing, you're going to review it. You'd like to think. A misspelled listing. Simple things, which means you're not going back and checking the work, which means you're also not showing the client, which also means a lot of things. If something is, you know, just you look in the house and it's cluttered and it's personalized to the 10th power and you're spending so much time looking at the pictures and the tchotchkes. What I call tchotchkes is just little knickknacks and little things that take your eye off the prize. I'm selling the home, not the tchotchkes. And if I'm selling the tchotchkes, I'm selling him maybe an estate sale or a garage sale. But again, I'm not selling that because that's considered what we call chattel, movable property. It's not affixed to the property. Everything that's affixed with the property belongs with the property. But if I'm going into a house, and the average person's attention span is 7 seconds. Do you know goldfish have 8 seconds? So you have a very short amount of time to get an impression across to a potential buyer, okay, of what's inside the house. So depersonalizing, decluttering, and deciding on a price that's equitable with the market is important. So that's the three stages of my foundation: depersonalize, declutter, and decide on a price that's equitable to the market. And when an agent takes pictures, less is more when you have a house that has a lot of struggles. Now, eventually the buyer's going to come to the house and they're going to see all this stuff. But you want to give a chance at a first impression. You want to take a picture that's going to make a buyer lean in. You want a buyer to be like, wow, I like what I see, but there's not a lot of pictures. I probably should make an appointment. If you take pictures and you doctor the pictures up to such a point where when they go into the house, they're like, I must be at the wrong house. This house is awful. Then you're misappropriating the listing. Sure, you took phenomenal pictures and you edited those pictures or you had someone take them and doctor them up. You're doing your clients and yourself a disservice. Remember, your personality and your business reputation is on the line every time you put a listing on the market. If you're not talking to your sellers and showing them the pictures and showing them the narratives and showing them the listing before you go live, shame on you. But it happens all the time. Some people say, look, I don't want nothing. I want to sell this house. I don't want to know nothing. Tell me where to sign. Okay. They're putting their faith in you to sell one of their largest financial purchases. You have to do what is asked of you. And again, a lot of realtors do not have repeat clients. Why? Because they don't invest in their clients. They don't touch base with their clients. Someone's like, yeah, I bought three homes before. The first question that pops up in my head is, why aren't you calling that realtor? Well, the reason why is because, you know what? You probably don't care. You know, you're in a point right now where that client didn't stay in touch with, that agent didn't stay in touch with you and had a bad experience. So I want to get to the bottom of that situation. I want to figure out where they failed. Where did they drop the ball? Was it just communication? Was the deal a mess? I have to figure that out. I try to stay in touch with my clients. And again, average person stays in their home about 7 years. So I'm in 10 years in the business. So I'm starting to see that repeat business. But I've lost some clients because, you know what? I didn't stay in touch with them the way that I should have. I didn't have a drip program. I didn't have a touch program. I didn't call them, email them, send them a card. Didn't do anything. My job is not to pester my past clients. It's just to stay in touch. And if I can help them, because I want to help them, it feels good to help people. Don't repeat the mistakes another realtor had. If they didn't stay in touch with them, your job is to make sure you stay in touch with this client because it's important to them because obviously they don't remember the agent or they thought that this agent didn't take the time, didn't care enough to stay in touch. I want to be your agent. When someone talks about real estate, I want them to say, hey, you got to use my guy, Jason. You have to use him. He's great. He just is. And you know what? We're not always someone's cup of tea. The transaction could go sideways. It just didn't go well. There wasn't a good gel. And we just might walk the other way. And that's okay too, because we're not for everybody. But again, I think there's so many people out there that do not take the time to invest in their clients. When I sit down with my clients, I sit down with them for a buyer presentation between an hour and a half and 2 hours. And I have agents tell me all the time, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that you spent that much time. And I said, how could you afford not to? They're like, what do you mean? I go over the contract, I go over the paperwork, I go over the process, I go over the showings. I listen to what their needs are, what their wants are. We talk about showings, we talk about the process. I give them resources. All this stuff comes up throughout the entire transaction. So why not lay out the groundwork and revisit it later where it's easier for them to comprehend? They're not going to remember everything you say at the first buyer consultation, but you can revisit it. Do you remember when we talked about this? Or do you remember when we mentioned that? Remember when I showed you this? That's investing time into your client. And if it doesn't work out, it's still good because again, you showed them something. You've educated them. You let them leave with more knowledge than they started with. And we all in this business, in this industry, need that. We need somebody to educate us. I come across a lot of buyers and sellers that just are misinformed. They had a bad experience with an agent, hence the reason why they're doing a for sale by owner. They don't want to pay the commission. Did you know you will probably net more money paying 6-7% commission using a real estate agent than you would with doing a for sale by owner? But they think they're going to make more money. That money is built in to the marketing and the networking and all the stuff that comes with it. Most for sale by owners use a real estate agent later on because this is not an easy thing. It's not a process that can just be skipped over. And sometimes it works out so perfectly, you know, it's great. But that's few and far between, at least in my opinion. From attorney approvals and home inspections and appraisals and titles and searches, there's so many different components. And a realtor, if they're worth their weight in salt, will be able to keep you within the lines, or they're going to be able to keep you in the know to explain to you how it is. That's what you need to do. In today's market, you need to be educated. Sit down with a realtor, and if that realtor or licensed real estate salesperson has the time to invest in you, you're going to have a fairly good transaction. And things happen. I tell clients, you can lose a house in the 11th hour, 59th minute of a transaction. It's unfortunate, but it's true. But we can get through it together because our team of people will work at that. And at Howard Hanna Real Estate Services, I have a great team of people that stand behind me and support me. So when there is an issue or an opportunity that arises, I have a team of people that can actually work toward the goal. Not all real estate companies are created equal. Some have pros and cons, and you know, some just are not with it. Not all are created equal. So do your homework, do your due diligence, ask the questions. You don't know what you don't know. But having a good realtor, having a good mortgage company, having a good real estate attorney, good inspector, these are all good things. You owe it to yourself to do this. Not many people buy many homes in their lifetime, maybe two or three, if that. So you want to make sure you make the right decisions. Does it always work out? No. But again, stack the deck in your favor by having the right people and resources in the right places at the right time. That's all the time I have for now. Hope you like what you heard. I'm Jason Swelling with Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. Have a good day.